It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
We're still here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. My name's Jet Lacy. I'm filling in, trying to fill Ernest's big shoes here on the in this beautiful downtown Phoenix studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. We're here. We're going back to talking about the Bank of International Settlements, which is the central bank of all the central banks. And it was created by the central banks. And again, what we were talking about is that they are a private company. All the central banks are privately owned entities that have finagled their way into being able to create and control the money supply for these whole nations of people. And it's the biggest racket there is. I mean, hey, I'll tell you, I'll be the first one to tell you it's good work if you can get it. But, you know, those jobs aren't really open. You don't see them on monster.com. Getting back to, we're talking about the derivatives and how the Bank of International Settlements, who has been sort of telling the truth, but and again, through my research and what I've read from others and what I've found, these elites tend to want to tell you what they're doing to you for whatever reason, so they can say, I told you so at the, you know, when their necks are in the noose and they're standing on the platform getting ready to have the lever pulled on them. I don't know. But they always want to say, I told you so. And so the Bank of International Settlements, which is, again, the central bank of all central banks, has been saying that there is a $426 trillion worth of derivatives out there, which are bets. So what this means is they've taken all of the money that we have given them, the taxpayers' money, and they have put it back in to the casino that used to be the stock market, and as well as bought real assets. They have bought real assets for pennies on the dollar. We're talking toll roads and infrastructure and utilities. And we are going to foot the bill for all of it, and they are going to make money in perpetuity on our backs, on our freedoms. Because every dollar that you're taxed is a tax on your time. It's a tax on your blood, sweat, and tears. And that is why we are here ultimately. Because to teach people that this is the largest robbery in the history of the world. I don't know how many ways that I could tell you that this is the largest robbery. It's all a big game. They're all doing this. They're all creating this money out of thin air that we have to pay back with our blood, sweat, and tears, and they're getting real assets for it. If that's not slavery, I don't know what is. And that's why I'm mad, and that's why I get all fired up when I start talking about this stuff. So, the chief economist of the biz warned that the derivative market still poses a major systemic risk to the financial sector. And the danger is that regulators will again fail to see that the big institutions have taken far more exposure than they can handle in shock conditions. And the use of derivatives by hedge funds and the like can create large hidden exposures. And this is what people are talking about when they talk about the shadow banking system. A lot of these derivative trades are done off the books. But they sure got the money on our books, you know, and they take the money and do whatever they want with it. and they enslave us with it, and they're using it to further enslave us. Their goal is to make us a banana republic. They want to break America down because we are the last bastion of freedom, or whatever is left of our freedom, in the whole world. And if they break us, the world is broken, and they can have their way because, again, I said we are the only armed nation left in the world. We are the epicenter of everything that is good in the world, regardless of all of the evil and bad things that have been done in our names. These things, although they were done in our names, many of us haven't done these things individually. That doesn't make us not responsible for them. We're still responsible for everything that our government does, even though our government has been hijacked by the banks. Because this is our country, and the course of it is our responsibility. Win, lose, or draw. So if we don't stand up right now and declare our independence from this, and to walk away from the whole situation, we're going to be enslaved. And I don't know how many future generations will be enslaved, because once you got a population enslaved, you know, it's really, really hard to break. You know, they have to make serious mistakes in whatever they're doing in order to break that enslavement. And it will happen. That's why they call it a revolution, you know, because it always comes back around again. Everybody understands that human nature being as it is, you know, people just take it and take it and take it. But on the other end, there's people that just take and take and take until that balance of taking and allowing your stuff to be taken is no longer tolerable. And then at that point, then there's a fight. And no one really wants that. And I don't want that. But we're at sort of a nexus point in our country, because things are bad enough where they're never going to get any better. But yet, I don't want to violence. I don't want to die. But the thing is, we still have the ability. We still have the last vestiges of our nation that we can grab a hold of if we act now. And if we don't, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict, but I know it's not going to be good. I know it's not going to be freedom. I know it's not going to be freedom of speech and, you know, following the natural law that, if you believe like I do in one creator, I'm not a religious man, but I do believe in a God. And I believe that I was born in my creator's image. And that God, that creator that I believe in, I believe is free. And if you are born in that creator's image, then you are free. And there are certain unalienable rights that cannot be granted or taken away by the whims of anyone else. And that is the right to life, liberty, and property. Actually, that was the words that Thomas Jefferson used in the Declaration of Independence. Life, liberty, and property. But it got sort of changed to the pursuit of happiness. But the spirit of what he meant is the right to your life, your freedom, and what you earn with what you make. And that's what property is. The property is the fruit of the things that you've earned. And many of these bankers and, you know, these corporate people, they were born with a silver spoon in their mouth. This is just a generational nepotism thing that's going on. They have never had to work a day in their life. They've never run a corporation. They just walked into the situation. They trade things that were never created. They trade, you know, all these fake dollars and fake stocks, and they never built anything or did anything on their own. They don't know what it's like to be a human being and have to worry about what their next meal is. They don't know what it's like to worry about where your child's going to go to school. They don't understand. It's not that they're not ultimately human beings, it's that they've just lived a completely different existence from us, and they have, in the years and the generations that they've lived in this lifestyle, they actually have come to have a feeling of superiority, and to look down on us is their actual possessions. You know, all this global warming talk and all this other business that they're, you know, they believe in their heart of hearts that we are, they own the world, and we, every breath that you and I take is fouling up their air. And they believe that with all their hearts. They believe it's their air, and we really don't have a right to be here, and we're just here to get the work done. And the rest of us are just, like, worthless eaters. And that's part of the reason that they want to control the health care, and they want to do all this other stuff that will actually bring us further into control so they can make this world into the way that they see fit without any intervention from anyone else. When we get back, we'll continue talking about the Bank of International Settlements. I went off on a rant a little bit, but I feel that what we're talking about is very important. We'll be right back in the Declare Your Independence show on Liberty News Radio.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And welcome back to the Declare Your Independence show with Ernest Hancock. My name is Jet Lacy. I'm sitting in for Ernest while he's up in Las Vegas, not even having any fun. He's speaking at the Oath Keepers Convention, and we'll get to that in just a little bit, but it's they're a pretty worthwhile organization. Getting back to the derivatives and the Bank of International Settlements, I want to quote an article from the Financial Times from William White, who is the former chief economist of the Bank of International Settlements. And the article states that, you know, his comments are not to be taken lightly, as apart from heading the economic department at the BIS from 95 to 2008, he had repeatedly warned of dangerous imbalances in the global financial system as far back as 2003. And breaking a great taboo in the central banking circles at the time, he dared to challenge Alan Greenspan, then chairman of the Federal Reserve, over his policy of persistent cheap money. He said, worldwide, central banks have pumped thousands of billions of new money into the financial system over the past 2 years in an effort to prevent a depression. Meanwhile, governments have gone to similar extremes, taking on vast sums of debt to prop up the industries from banking to car making. White warned that these measures may already be inflating another bubble in asset prices, which we talked about earlier, from equities to commodities. There was a small risk that inflation would get out of control over the medium term. He also said that the underlying problems in the global economy, such as unsustainable trade imbalances between the U.S., Europe, and Asia, had not been resolved. On September 20th, the FT, Financial Times, also reported that the BIS issued a stern warning that the world cannot afford to slip into a complacent assumption that the financial sector had rebounded for good. Before that, in late June, they warned that fiscal stimulus packages may provide no more than a temporary boost to growth to be followed by a period of economic stagnation. And that's exactly what's going on. This is all just wallpaper. This is just papering over the problem, which is still there. Nothing has changed. You know, they say that they're reining in the pay for these executives, which is like ultimately the wrong thing to do in a free market society. The problem is the system that they created themselves, these same bankers, but they don't want to change that because the bankers have hijacked Wall Street. You know, the Australian reported that at the same time, the government guarantees asset insurance have exposed taxpayers to potentially large losses. And they pose significant risks that there's a danger that fiscal policymakers will exhaust their debt capacity before finishing the costly job of repairing the financial system. And that there is definitely a possibility that stimulus programs will drive up real interest rates and inflation expectations. Inflation would intensify as the downturn abated, and the BIS expressed doubt that the bank rescue package adopted in the U.S. would do that. But it is doing that, and we are going into hyperinflation. because you cannot float trillions and trillions of dollars into an already overinflated currency and not expect it. Every dollar that they print makes every dollar that's out there in circulation worth just a little bit less. Now, I want to play a clip right now from Peter Schiff, someone I also look up to very much. He's running for Senate in the state of Connecticut, but in Ron Paul's run for presidency, he was one of his top economic advisors. And he basically lays it down the way it is. And I think it's pretty interesting. So I'm going to play this for you. It's just a few minutes long.
When our next guest was last on this show, here's what he had to say about the state of the recovery.
The U.S. economy is not recovering from anything. It's actually getting sicker. So it's not going to be a W. It's not going to be a V. It's not going to be a U. It's nothing. There is no letter to describe it because there is no recovery. But, you know, there is a lot of inflation. You know, you're talking about what's happening in the market. The market is rising as a consequence of inflation.
Since then, the Dow has rallied some 6%, breaking through 10,000. The VIX has tumbled to multi-year lows. I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm thinking our next guest is still calling BS on this historic rally. Peter Schiff is the president of Euro-Pacific Capital and the author of Crash Proof 2.0. Peter, always great to have you with us.
Sure. You know, today the dollar is at a new low for the year. It's making 52-week lows against most currencies. The price of gold has broken out to a new high. That shows that the rally in U.S. stocks, again, is phony. If you price stocks and things like gold, they're getting cheaper, not more expensive.
Yes, the dollar hit a new fresh 14-month low, Peter, but we've hit fresh 14-month lows, and that's actually been a good thing for the markets. I mean, at some point, you're leaving a lot of money on the table when you're not in the market.
Remember, I'm owning the things that are going up much faster than the U.S. stock market, so I'm not leaving anything on the table. It's the people who are foolishly holding U.S. stocks that are leaving a lot on the table because they're not investing abroad instead. But the policies that have caused the stock market to rise are the same policies that are undermining the value of our dollar and destroying our economy. We're going to suffer because of what the government has done to generate a phony nominal rise in U.S. stock prices.
Hey, Peter, you talk about you own the things that are going up faster than the market itself. Like what? I mean, if you look at gold, on the year, it's maybe up 20% if you bought the absolute bottom. You look at copper, it was up 24% this quarter. So where is it that you're putting your money that you're outperforming in the market? And if you look at where the market was at 6,500, now it's near the 10,000 level, it sure seems like the market's had a heck of a run.
Not compared to foreign markets. If you look at overseas stock markets in Asia and Europe, they are running circles around the U.S. The performance is almost twice as good. And that's a reflection of not only have the fact that foreign stock markets have gone up, but the dollar has collapsed. So if you own stocks in other countries where the currencies are rising, not only do you get the benefit of the rising stock price, but you get the benefit of the rising currency. Plus, the dividend yields abroad are much higher than the dividend yields here.
And, Peter, but how can you say, first of all, half the companies you're talking about effectively are U.S. companies operate around the world. The earnings we've seen this quarter from the most important companies in this market are coming from a globalized market. So by leaving that aside and throwing Freeport out the window, throwing Intel out the window, throwing IBM out the window, these are all companies that are making a ton of money globally. So
right,
when you push down the U.S. stock market and just say universally that the U.S. the U.S. companies, because of U.S. Fiscal policy, are trapped, you're missing a huge opportunity.
Well, look, obviously, I own a few U.S. oil companies and some mining companies here. I'm talking about the market as a whole. Yeah, there could be pockets of opportunity in the U.S., but I think there's better opportunities abroad where the valuations are better, where 100% of the earnings come from outside the United States. And I'm also looking at the future for very, very high taxes coming on U.S. corporations, I think, in the years ahead. Maybe even windfall profit taxes on those few companies that manage to make money in this economy. I'd rather invest in companies where they're not going to be under attack by regulators and the government. But I'm also looking at the economic policies by the Fed that are really going to undermine our economy in the next few years, that are going to pull the rug out from under any kind of phony recovery.
Right.
I think we're headed for a dollar crash, and that's a major, major crisis.
Okay, Peter, always good to get your side of the story. Peter Schiff of Euro Pacific Capital.
Well, I don't know what you think about that, but I hope to hear from some people at least once today, for goodness sakes. The Liberty News Radio call-in number is 1-866-986-6397, 866-986-NEWS. And I'd love to hear from you because I'm talking about some, I think, is the most important and serious issues that are facing us. Well, one of them anyway. And it all is tied in together, though, because if we don't have a currency, we don't have a nation, And then where are we? You know, we have all these states failing. We have Alabama. We had Arizona. They just announced in the news they had to borrow $500 billion or something. It's an astronomical amount. I could be misquoting. But from the federal government just to maintain operations. And that's crazy because the tax revenues with all the people crashing is falling off the table. And when we get back, we'll talk about that. And we'll just talk about the effects that this is having on everyday Americans. The effects that this is going to have. And what he said in gold and silver are really the last line of defense. And, you know, if you don't have that, that's the real money for...
And you're clear.
Oh, man, I know it was 50. Sorry.
No, you're totally fine. Don't worry.
Yeah, I should have looked.
Oh, you're fine. Don't worry. We got you on a good sentence, so it just cut off right clean.
Yeah, I saw it. I heard it going down, and I just stopped. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I'll get it.
You're doing good. Don't worry.
Thanks. I appreciate your help and
support.
I just really, you know, Ernie really likes, wants to develop this show, and I just want to do a good job because he's been so good to me, you know?
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I joke that, you know, they say that a lot of people give someone enough rope to hang themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie really gives you enough rope to pick yourself up as far as you want. You know, yeah. It really is. Everything that's here, you know, Ernie secures the funding, and we all have keys, and we can come in here, and the place is huge. There's like a full video studio, full audio studio, a full printing press. There's...
Wow.
We can burn 33 DVDs every 6 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Numerous, you know, there's wireless internet, there's regular internet. You know, he handles it all, and we just get to come do it, and it's really cool, you know?
Yeah, that is so cool.
There'd be nothing without him, you know, really, because he secures all the funding, and we just get to come do the stuff.
See, that is the coolest thing.
And if he secures, if we do the stuff, you know, and make results for our benefactors, you know, that we're actively working for liberty, then they keep giving us money. So it is a group effort.
Yeah, and then it keeps everything going. And
right.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of good work, and this place is... Do other shows that you have on the network talk like this?
They do.
Really?
They do. We have a couple different shows, and they do, you know, they have their own kind of flavor to them.
Yeah, I don't know what my flavor is. Seriously, you know, like, I've just only been doing this a week, so.
You'll get it, no worries.
Yeah.
You're
Does it sound
really
okay, though?
Like,
I mean,
it sounds like you've been doing it for a while.
Does it sound normal?
Yeah.
All right, good. Because, yeah. I mean, I'm not fishing for anything. I'm just really honest feedback with... Because Ernie doesn't tell you. He's like, oh, you're doing fine. All right, good. You know, it's
No.
kind of a guy thing, you know?
No, you're really doing fine.
Thanks. So I can do, I'm doing him up proud.
Yeah, you're doing us proud. No worries.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Take a drink. It's happy hour, so I'm actually having a beer. That's one thing that's nice about this is it ain't a job.
You're in 30 seconds.
Thanks.
No problem. And we had a thing with the satellite, but it just dropped you for a few minutes. You're back on air right now.
Oh.
But...
You know, I'm recording my own, so if you guys need a copy of it, I can give it to you.
Yeah, and we've got you recorded as well. So you're just off air for like 3 minutes, but you're okay.
You know, I didn't know it, so it's all good.
Yeah, you are good to go.
Thank you.
All right, and you are on.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. My name's Jet Lacey. I'm filling in for Ernest today while he's up in Las Vegas, not having a good time, but he's speaking and continuing on in the fight for individual liberties. So it's the least I can do is jump in and talk. So once again, I'd like to hear from you guys. It's 866-986-6397 for the Liberty News Radio call-in number, 866-986-NEWS. But till that time, we're going to go back to talking about the Bank of International Settlements. I think it's so important because there's all these corollary things that go along with these central banks. Because they control the money supply, they control everything. And I just wanted to touch upon that CNBC clip that I just played with Peter Schiff. And, you know, you have a pundit on there that says, you know, contrary to Peter Schiff, and Peter Schiff gives his opinion. However, CNBC is owned by, well, you know, NBC. And NBC is owned by General Electric. General Electric is one of the largest defense contractors in the world. They make all kinds of stuff for the war movement. So let me ask you, do you think for 1 second that GE is going to allow anything to be said on their network that would allow for, you know, that would hurt GE's bottom line? I don't think so. So that, therefore, right there is a conflict of interest as far as between GE and the truth. You know, that's really what it is. It's the difference between the corporation and the truth. There's a conflict of interest because some things that NBC might want to say could be contrary to what would assist GE's bottom line. Therefore, there's an inherent conflict of interest. Therefore, I don't trust them because they're not going to do it. So that's just something to think about. All of these companies like Fox and ABC is owned by Disney and they own ESPN and all these, all the major media outlets are owned by these major mega corporations, which are in turn got big because they got their money loaned to them by the major banks. So therefore, the banks, if the, you know, the major corporations start leaking things through their major media outlets that are deleterious to the bottom line of the banks, you think the banks are going to loan them any more money? I don't think so. And this is the whole thing. It's a circular pattern. It's a vicious cycle of lies and misinformation that continually is pumped into our brains in a day-by-day, moment-by-moment, minute-by-minute, you know, basis. And, I mean, they adjust the flicker rates so it puts you into a trance. Like, you know, they just, there's so many things. And getting back to Las Vegas, it's, if you ever go to Las Vegas with a different set of eyes is what I call it. Ever since I joined the Freedom Movement and started figuring this stuff out. You know, in Phoenix, Arizona, I live about 5 miles from Vegas. I used to love to go to Vegas and have a great time. And you go there now that I know what I know, I don't like Vegas at all. Because it's the proving ground for every piece of mind control that they have, whether it be from sense to visual flickers. You notice everything's, you know, flashing, and it gets you in this trance-like state, and they do it only at the level. They, like, test all this stuff. Like, the flicker on the lights on the machines flicker at a certain rate that affects your brain waves. And that's proven. They have whole sciences that are based on that. And also, the newest technologies in surveillance are tested in Las Vegas. And again, that's why when Vegas was coming up, it was owned by the mob. You know, but then the large corporations, as we were talking about, figured out that, man, we could do a lot with Las Vegas. So, man, the casinos nowadays are priced out of even the mob money. You know, there are these huge, only the mega corporations can own these types of things. That's a little bit of an aside, but it's just something else for you to think about. Getting back to the Bank of International Settlements and the derivatives. The derivative markets represent a massive threat to the stability of the global economy. Like I said, there's $426 trillion of derivatives out there. And the whole gross domestic product of the world is 60. Everything that's made, produced, earned in the world is $60 trillion a year. And we're one-fifth of that already. So you figure, you know, usually a business is worth, I don't know, 3-4 years of their gross income. which is, so for the world, it'd be like 180 trillion, you know, 240 trillion tops. We got over double that in derivatives. And that's why the market is continuing to teeter, because all these massive bets have been placed against the everything. You know, the whole world is bet against the whole world, and it's the banks doing it, and it's sure to collapse. Somebody is going to have to pay, and pay big at some point. And this is why I'm telling you that this is all being done by design. It's all being done. They want to crash the system. They want to crash every economy. They want to do this because it's like, I call it the spring cleaning theory. It's my own personal word. When you spring clean, you have to take everything out of the closets. You have to break everything down in your house. You have to pull everything apart, clean it, and build it back up in the way that you want it to be. So therefore, they have to break the world down in order to build the world up into the way that they want it. And by doing, and that's the bad part. The thing is, they don't care about you. They think you're scum. They think you're less than them. And they're laughing at us. You know, Lindsey Williams was on the show yesterday, and I listened to it, and he knows some of these people. He lived with them. He's kept in contact with them, but he's just this nice gentleman that's a minister that, you know, they ended up confiding in him, because everybody has a conscience, whether or not you ignore it or not. And there's one guy that's at a death's door, and he's sort of having some deathbed recanting, and he starts telling Lindsey Williams this stuff. And, of course, there's no way to prove it, but he's saying that we have 2 years before hyperinflation, before there's a war in Iran, before America is something that is unrecognizable from what it is. These are our halcyon days, people. These are the best days that we're going to have. Make up with your family. Have a good time. Go enjoy yourselves. Figure out what you're going to do in the future. But you better do it quick. But I do encourage you to enjoy this time, because it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. But whenever things do get bad, there's always good that comes from bad, and bad always comes from good. It's just the way of the world. So I'm not trying to be a Mr. Gloom and Doom. We're going to have a renaissance. It's going to force us to be more inventive and intuitive and think a little bit more and work a little bit harder. But in that, we're going to gain a lot of self-esteem, and we're going to have to rely on one another again. We're going to have to trust one another again. We're going to have to live closer together, and we're going to have to be more accepting of one another. And these are the things that you can actually look forward to. But the fact of the matter is, things are going to get very bad, and the more money that you have now that you can invest in protecting your family, the better off you're going to be. I've never been a paranoid person. That's why I probably got in trouble with the law in the first place. I wasn't paranoid enough. But I'll tell you what, I have like a year's amount of food for my wife and I. I probably have a year's worth of food. And we're not going to eat good. We're going to eat well. I'm a big boy. We're going to have plenty to eat. But it's going to be a lot of pinto beans and things like that. But I don't have to worry about that ultimate need. And I just bought it little by little. And I stored it over, you know, in nice hardy containers that are bug proof. And, you know, I've kept them in the house where they're season proof. Because a lot of it wouldn't taste very good in the Arizona summer. So I know that worst comes to worst, I have something to trade. I have some food to live on. And these are the types of things that we're going to have to look out for each other for. I know that I'm going to have to feed some people. But I urge you to just start looking out for your fellow man and for yourselves. And to wake up from the matrix. And I think that's all I need to say about this stuff. I'd really like to spend the last segment on the Oath Keepers. So when we come back, we'll talk about Ernest and the Oath Keepers, and we'll be right back on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock Show. I was going to play a clip, but I forgot. I put it in the wrong cue. But anyway, my name is Jet Lacy. I'm filling in for Ernest, admirably or not. But Ernest is up. He got a late invitation from Sheriff Richard Mack. I don't know if Ernest has spoke to you about Sheriff, but he talks about how the county sheriff is the highest law enforcement in any county anywhere. They have the right, the ultimate right, to kick out even the federal government because they are an elected official. You know, none of the other police, you know, the chief of police is even, he's an appointed position. And so he has a book that is out. I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it's really good. It's meant for the sheriffs to teach the individual sheriffs from the different counties in the United States that they are the ultimate weapon against tyranny if they so choose to uphold their oath to the Constitution. And there's a gentleman named Stuart Rhodes, and actually this, the Oath Keepers, he created the Oath Keepers, and it's only been around since March, but their message is so very important that they're actually blowing up all over the country. Because there is a lot of military and police officers, both current and ex, that understand that they're probably going to be asked to do some things that are very, very distasteful that would go in against the direct violation, go in direct violation of the what they vowed not to do. And Stuart Rhodes is a former U.S. Army paratrooper. He's a former member of Ron Paul's D.C. staff. He graduated from Yale Law School in 2004, and he teaches classes on the Constitution and Bill of Rights. And in March, he created the Oath Keepers, and they have a list of 10 Declaration of Orders we will not obey. And I'm just going to go through them very quickly. One is, we will not obey any order to disarm the American people. And a lot of these go back to the reason that the revolution started originally. The attempt to disarm the people on April 19th, 1775 was a spark of open conflict in the American Revolution. The British tried to take the powder and shot in Concord, and that was it. And that sort of thing very well may come today. There's 15 laws on the books, not on the books, but in legislation in Congress right now that would severely limit the right to bear arms. One of those gives the Attorney General the right to ban any gun he wants with a stroke of a pen with no oversight. And these are powerful, powerful anti-gun bills. And if you look at the people that President Obama has nominated, like the Attorney General, he was involved in the thing, the DC gun ban case, and he said that the U.S. citizens had no right to own a handgun, and he was involved in that. And then next thing you know, because he followed the line what they're trying to accomplish, even though he lost to a certain extent, and here he is, Mr. Attorney General. Sonia Sotomayor wrote whole papers about how there is no right of the people to own weapons. And look at, now she's a Supreme Court justice. There's a whole bunch of people out there in this nation, in this government that we have, that are very anti-gun. And I think they're just waiting for the right time in which to spring this upon us. But they have to be very careful. In the first 3 months of this year, enough guns were bought in the United States alone to outfit both the India Army and the Chinese Army. And that was just the first 3 months. People are buying on the average 1 million guns a month. in this nation. Not to mention they can't keep ammunition off the shelf. And that's another thing. I'm currently a felon, like I said, with the marijuana problem I had. So I'm not allowed to have guns, which I don't know what I'm going to do. But I guess if things go bad, I'll pick one up. I don't know. But I don't have any right now. But, you know, it's one of those things that when I talked about earlier that you really start to cherish your rights when you don't have them anymore. I never saw the need to have a gun, even though I thought it would be fine. But it's one of those things you really have to think about what's important to you. And you don't know what you got until it's gone. The second one is that they will not obey any order to conduct warrantless searches of the American people, their homes, vehicles, papers, or effect, such as warrantless house-to-house searches for weapons or persons like they did in Katrina. They went house to house searching for people's guns, law-abiding citizens in their own home. They took their guns. If you look on the YouTube, there's a video of them. A little old lady was scared because all these guys look like stormtroopers. They come to the door. They knocked her down. They beat her ass because she had a little tiny 38. She could barely hold it up. She was like 80-some years old. You know, they do things different down there in Louisiana, I tell you. That's not a place you really want to go, you know, if they don't know who you are. Anyway, the third one is we will not obey any order to detain American citizens as lawful enemy combatants or subject them to trial by military tribunal. Number four, we will not obey orders to impose martial law or a state of emergency in any state or to enter with force into a state without express consent and invitation of that state's legislature and governor. That's a huge one. There's a lot of legislation out there right now with regard to the H1N1 virus that they've pushed through. The governor, that's been on the books here in Arizona for a while. The governor can declare any state of emergency. It's a she right now. She sees fit. And it's martial law, and that's it. You got to go on the truck. Number five, we will not obey orders to invade and subjugate any state that asserts its sovereignty and declares the national government to be in violation of the compact by which that state entered the union. Again, that's a big one. The secession movement is in full swing in a lot of states. They don't call it the Republic of Texas for nothing. They were a republic when they went in and they said, we'll come into the union, but we reserve the right to get out whenever we see fit. And to a certain extent, the Civil War changed that, but not on the books. You know, it just sort of crushed the will. They never made a constitutional amendment, though. So states still can secede. It still is a valid choice. It's still a valid option for the citizens of any state because the states created the federal government, not the other way around. The several states at the time got together and formed the federal government in order to help protect it and to increase interstate commerce. And it's just got wildly out of control. Number six, we will not obey any order to blockade American cities, thus turning them into giant concentration camps. I was thinking about this with Phoenix. We have the I-10, the I-17, and the 60 that goes towards Vegas and the other way in the state. And that's all they would need to do to block us all in. You shut off the water and the light, especially in the summer in Phoenix, Arizona, people are going to be stuck. It'd take about 36 hours before this place was bedlam. They'd be begging the government to come in. And, you know, these guys are saying they won't do that. Number seven, we will not obey any order to force American citizens into any form of detention camps under any pretext. They keep denying that those detention camps are out there, but I'll tell you what. I went down to Florence, where there's a bunch of jails here in Arizona, and like six jails in a row. And one of them's a Department of Homeland Security jail that's sitting there pretty much empty. I didn't see any people around there. It was staffed. You know, what's it there for? Why do you have an open prison with nobody in there? Number eight, we will not obey orders to assist or support the use of any foreign troops on U.S. soil against the American people to keep the peace or to maintain control during any emergency or under any other pretext. We would consider such a use of foreign troops against our people to be an invasion and an act of war. And if you look at that, just this year, there was the multi-level exercises that they did in July, where the members of nine different countries invaded the United States. They mock invaded the United States under the pretext of a post-terrorist event that didn't even occur in the United States. So if you look up the FEMA website and you look up National Level Exercise 09, they did it all over the country with all these different foreign troops. This is coming, folks. They're setting it up to knock us down. Number nine, we will not obey any orders to confiscate the property of American people, including food and other essential supplies, under any emergency pretext whatsoever. Number 10, we will not obey any orders which infringe on the right of the people to free speech, peaceably assemble, and to petition their government, redress their grievances. I tell you what, I urge you to take a look at the Oath Keepers, and I hope I haven't turned everybody off by my guest hosting here on the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock show. I've had an excellent time. I thank Sarah for looking out for me on my first day here. I appreciate that. And I hope to fill in now and again when Ernest needs a break or a day off. I really enjoy this. I'm pretty new at being a radio host. But I have a lot to say, and I have a lot of things that I think need to be discussed on an urgent basis with regard to our freedoms and the fact that we are losing them at an unprecedented rate. I hope to see you on the radio real soon. Once again, my name is Jet Lacy. Thank you so much for having me on the Liberty News Radio. Have a good day.